Whoa.
So you both have very different backgrounds and probably approach sort of the idea of community and community management a little bit differently. Could you each talk about what draws you to community management as the industry you want to be working in, influencing, helping grow?
Well, I got started in community management back in 99 at the company I was working at. We were building communities, and so, I mean, I really enjoyed the process of getting closer with customers, and so as I evolved in that role and moved on and started helping other companies think about community and then started building a platform and using that knowledge in building a platform, I've done it for close to 15 years now, and it's just been a really fascinating journey. And to be on this side and be able to use what I've been doing for those years in helping clients figure out some pretty complex challenges has been interesting. So, you know, I kind of love that journey I've been on, and I don't see any reason to stop it. So,
I would add that, Jim, if your superpower is anything, it's that you are an enabler in the very best sense of the word, meaning you are a party planner. You're a person who constructs environments that support other people.
Do you want me to get you a beer?
Would that be helpful to the conversation?
No, I'm just trying to be an enabler, sorry.
But in the very best way,
right.
Meaning you're very good at thinking about a problem in an empathetic way and constructing the connections and the solutions for somebody so that they can achieve something. So
I want to get back to your answer to the what drew you to community management, but sort of down that path, people that know you in real life, people that know you in the internet, you're very different people in a wonderful way. You're very different. And I think objectively it's pretty easy to see how the yin and the yang and the complementing, but do you have any thoughts on how the partnership works for you guys? And that's a piece of it, right? That if Jim is an enabler, Rachel is fill in the blank.
Enabled?
You know, it probably helps that we're remote workers, honestly, because we get together when we need to. We certainly interact every single day, multiple times a day via, you know, whether it's Skype or Google Hangouts or telephone calls or IMs, you know, whatever it is, we're interacting all the time. But I think being physically remote may have helped a little bit, just because it gives us our own space to be creative and do our own thing.
For me, it was a pretty intuitive decision, meaning it wasn't front of mind. I wasn't thinking, you know, what am I good at? What is Jim good at? Does this make sense? It was more, we complement each other in a lot of ways. Things that I don't do very well, Jim does very well. I don't have the most empathetic perspective. I have to be reminded some of the time to go out and whether it's say thank you or stop talking or whatever it is. On the other hand, I'm very analytic and I can take a broad perspective of things and put lots of pieces together.
You're also very good at getting up in front of a group and conveying some really complex thoughts in ways that are easy to digest, which is not easy for anyone in my mind, and it's really hard for me. So that's something that I appreciate too.
There's a lot of love at this table. I can feel the community love. It's nice. So circling back, what drew you, Rachel, to the community world?
So I would have never guessed that I would be building a business. I didn't really have that, like, I want to be an entrepreneur thing in me, although I loved working at startups. But in this space, I had some very interesting background. I had a politics degree, and that was a lot about kind of power dynamics, like who has what and how do you negotiate those power differentials. I started my business career in operations strategy consulting, doing a lot of benchmarking of new product development supply chain processes, which means I understood large companies and how they needed to operate or how they did operate from a very transactional or process perspective. Then I got into technology and was building and marketing technology, so I understood technical architecture, potential of technology. And then I was kind of an analyst looking at this space. So, you know, a lot of things came together for me in this space. The big overlay there is I grew up with a father who was a minister in a church where the congregation hired and fired their pastors. So he was leading by tacit authority of the LED, which is a community managed. He wasn't doing it online, and God knows he hated the early computers we had in the house. But he was practicing community management in a fairly contentious environment. I grew up in Cambridge, Massachusetts. People love to argue and, you know, really get into it. And then my mother was an activist, and so she was doing the same thing, creating power by large groups of people to confront different problems. And so there's something in me that I both believed that it was possible that you could get a large group of people together to create value, and I saw my father manage those environments in a very sophisticated way. So, you know, all of those just came together in this nexus.
So 5 years in, do you have any reflections you want to share on building a company?
Well, you know, one of the things that we tell clients early on when they're thinking about community is don't plan, and then launch. It's just launch and kind of iterate. And I think part of what, when I look back in the last 5 years, is we didn't mess around too much about launching. Like, we just got going. We made some plans here at Hugh O'Neill's in Malden, Mass., and around a Guinness, and we just launched. And we've been learning while we go, and it's been, at times, a crazy journey. We've had competitors in the marketplace that we've had to, you know, sort through. We've looked at our business model critically a few times, and, you know, we've evolved what we do to include other products. So we've continued to kind of grow as a business. And I think if we planned and, you know, we laid it all out, we may have not launched and had to redo it. And we could still be planning right now, given how much change there's been in the industry. But launching and iterating is probably my greatest advice.
Most of what I've experienced that's been, I don't know if it's challenging, but just figuring out the kind of life-business interface for me has been interesting, because I had a child about a year after I started the Community Roundtable, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend doing both at the same time. They were both babies together and both toddlers together. And when they were both toddlers together, it wasn't easy. It's still not. I travel a lot, and that's tough. And like, for me, what's been really interesting is you really have to own your own decisions when you own a business. There's no one else. Like, if you don't like what's happening, it's yours to change or do something about. And that really, I guess, it's a personal come to Jesus process of really owning your own approach to life, which at the end of the day has been extremely helpful, but it is a process.
So working at the CR, we tend to talk about things in threes. It's always three things. Can you give any insight as to why it's always three things?
Big smiles around the table. Well, we've in past lives all worked with someone who was very adamant that the world worked in threes, and so if you made a presentation and there were two bullet points, you had to add another one. And if you wrote an email and you had two objectives, you had to add another one. Or if you had four, you had to remove one. It was one of those things that really made an impression on me. And I think, you know, to a certain extent, it's true. It's, people do think in threes, and it's there's a reason there's that, you know, three is the magic number, and I believe it is. So, three things.
Yeah, for me, it's all about simplifying complex things, right? Like, giving people a manageable set of things to think about. If you give somebody 12 things to think about, they can't possibly reel those off quickly. And if you're asking somebody to make a decision, you want to give them choice, but not so much choice that they get lost in all their options. So, you know, it has borne out very well. The corollary, of course, being the three frogs that you have to swallow on a daily basis. But yeah, three is a very helpful number, and it, you know, it bears out in art. If you look at all art, it's usually segmented by quad or by thirds. So yeah, it's our thing. Three things.
So, looking back over the last 5 years, is there a moment that jumps out at you that you are the most proud of? Either an interaction with a client, or something with the team, or, you know, how the business affected your personal life? Just the first thing that sort of you say, yeah, that is why I'm doing this.
You know, there have been a lot of little moments. I guess when I look back, it's probably when the first paying member said, absolutely, I'm going to renew, because that validated what we were doing. So we're in the relationship business. We're trying to build long-term relationships with our clients. And so when you work all year long and you put yourself out there and you try to do what you think is right for your customers, you're never really sure until you get to that end of the road and it's time for someone to say, Yes or no to I'm going to spend money with you again next year. And when they do, it's not a surprise, but it's validation that you are moving in the right direction and you're helping someone.
It's hard because there have been so many with particular clients or overall different inflection points in the business. One big one that was fun and slightly different was the team did a top 10 list for Jim and I. When was that? Thanksgiving. And there was a couple of things on that list that I don't think I'm very good at, and I try very hard to mitigate how poor I think I am in those areas. And it was actually listed as something I did well, and so I was like, okay, well, I am doing a good job of both building a business but also making an impact and mentoring my team and empowering my team, because I think it's one of the things that companies do really poorly. They just don't treat their employees like humans, and they don't give back to them. And so having a team that feels like they're growing and successful and happy and have a voice in the business is really important to me. And to me, it was also really important that we be building a community-based business with a community business model, which is really rare to see out in the market. But I felt like it was important to do what we were advising our clients to do and show them that it's possible. And so to me, that's probably what I'm most proud of, is that we've been able to build a community-based business.
I'm going to use my favorite analog and say we're eating our own dog food.
Yes.
It's the worst. No one wants to eat dog food.
No, it's
not.
The worst. It's the worst.
Terrible.
It's terrible.
It's disgusting. Although the Kool-Aid is also, it didn't end well for some of those people.
Right.
Kool-Aid. So, anyway, thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely.
A big thank you to Hugh O'Neill's for giving us the square table and all the Guinness.
Yes.
And thank you to everyone out there listening. As always, you can find us on the internet, on Twitter or Facebook. Have a great day.
Thanks for being with us for 5 years.
Whoa.
This has been a Community Roundtable production.